Welcome back to the Political Checklist here on the Rundown Blog. I'm political editor David Chalian, joined, as always, by senior correspondents Judy Woodruff and Gwen Eiffel. Good Monday morning.
Good morning.
By the time this gets posted. Let's begin with the president in the Rose Garden today, basically repeating almost verbatim his speech from Thursday night. Why is he out there again saying the same thing about this jobs plan, Gwen?
Because why not? The point is the president's trying to get in front of cameras and make sure that his theme, and that's what all good politicians do, is repeated and repeated and repeated. And so his theme is, if you oppose my bill, you hate construction workers and veterans and teachers and small school children, and you're not for saving America or the middle class. I mean, it's a pretty simplistic argument. Pass this bill, but he's trying to set his anybody who might disagree with him up as being someone who is against all these individuals and all of these positive groups, not people who are against him, and that anybody who disagrees with him is only playing politics. That's the gist of what he said the other night. Took 10 minutes to say it.
And I want to follow up on the politics part of this. He's acting as if, Judy, in these comments, that it's unseemly to be playing politics right now, and yet isn't he playing politics also to some degree, doing exactly what Gwen just described?
Well, sure. I mean, he's the president, he wants to get reelected, and that's the backdrop behind all of this. But I think two other points to make. He did say last week, I mean, it was sort of inserted into his remarks, that and the White House has been suggesting this, that if the Republicans don't go along with this, they are going to have some responsibility for if there is a double dip to recession, and starting to move the ball into their court. Now, whether that's going to be successful, that's something he's trying to do. The other thing is, he's been criticized in the past for being good at the get-go, but not on the follow-through. And I think what they're trying to show right now is that he is going to follow through. We'll see how long it lasts. This is just week two. But I think they know that if they're going to get anything out of this jobs plan, they've got to go relentlessly, week after week, day after day.
Democratic National Committee already going up with a television ad this week using comments from the speech in these key battleground states to try to keep pressing that point. I was also taken on the issue of taxes in the Rose Garden. He hit this again hard. He hit it on Thursday night, too, saying to the Republicans, you all have taken an oath for life never to raise taxes. Now's not the time to do it against the middle class. Today, again, he was saying, if you are against this jobs bill, you are for raising taxes on the middle class, because he's referring to that payroll tax cut that he says is $1,500 for an average family. That seems to resonate, right?
I guess they think it does. It's a nice piece of jiu-jitsu. It is also interesting to listen to Eric Cantor, who started to make noises about things he could support that the president mentioned the other night. Mm-hmm. This is not one of them. But what the Republicans recognize the danger and being painted as the obstructionist here. So they're starting saying, well, you know, we're willing to talk to the president. Their numbers are worse than the president. Not that this is politics, but you can understand why they are willing to make some concessions about things they are for and still hold pretty tough against the things that they're not, and this payroll tax cut might be one of them.
You think it's an area that they could maybe hammer out a deal?
Some Republicans are saying clearly this is an area we can work with the president. We may not do it exactly as much or the way he wants. Other Republicans, frankly, though, are saying just as emphatically, we're not going there. We think it's a short-term matter. It may help people in the short run, but it doesn't do anything in the long run to get businesses going, to get jobs created for the long run.
And there's nothing the White House loves more than when the Republicans are divided amongst themselves. Let's turn to the Republicans, and we have yet another debate happening tonight in Tampa, Florida. CNN and the Tea Party Express are co-hosting this debate. Judy, what does that signify to you, that the Tea Party Express is one of the actual debate sponsorship organizations?
That the Tea Party is here to stay, at least in the near term of our American politics. They are stronger. They have more endurance. They're in more parts of the country. You and I were just talking about how they're having watch parties all over the country. This is a group. They've teamed up with a major news organization to sponsor this debate. They're going to be posing many questions to the candidates. And if the candidates weren't already feeling, I would submit they're already feeling a fair amount of heat from the Tea Party. They're feeling it right out there in the open tonight.
And it's interesting to watch them kind of, they are also doing their own jujitsu in that Tim Pawlenty, who not a minute ago was calling Mitt Romney's plan in healthcare plan in Massachusetts Obamacare, this morning is endorsed him and very quickly after dropping out of the race himself. And that part of that is because, as it happens, Mitt Romney is going and trying to appeal to those very same conservative voters, such as they were, who supported Tim Pawlenty, and they're trying to close forces against the close ranks against the forces of Rick Perry.
Rick Perry, and that to me is a fascinating thing. Tim Pawlenty clearly knew. If he waited until people forgot who he was entirely, he may not have as much of an impact. But by doing it so closely to getting out of the race, he did seem to come down in this establishment versus Tea Party divide on the establishment side.
That's what it looks like. It does look like we're beginning to see a pretty consistent split between what it takes to win in the fall in the general election and what it takes to win the primary.
But it is interesting because this is the same Tim Pawlenty who not so long ago was appealing to the Tea Party.
Yeah.
So here he is, as you say, placing himself in the other camp. But it is the case. I mean, this is Tim Pawlenty. There are too many Ricks. Tim Pawlenty was not scoring that high in the polls, so I'm not sure how much of an impact this is going to have in the long run.
And perhaps tonight, since it is a Tea Party event to some degree, Michelle Bachmann will be able to have a moment, since she is of the Tea Party like almost no other candidate, to have a moment to sort of resurge and come back into the conversation in a way that she's not been there.
There's a new poll out that has her at 4% today. So
below Newt Gingrich.
She has pooled. So she has got to resurge somehow, if that's a word, tonight.
I made it up, so
thank you.
We're going to stick with it. I'll let you have it. Thank you. That does it for this edition of The Checklist. Be sure to click us on again right here next week. Thanks for watching.